All right, James, anything you wanted to say about Ebola before we maybe moved on to something else?
I think we pretty much covered that off nicely there.
Well, Joey Z in the chat, they said on New York Post cover, it says, world has 60 days to beat Ebola. Tell me that's not some, like, deadline.
Oh, I did see that somewhere, yeah. Joey, you got the link? Can you throw that in the chat for us, buddy, so we can look at it, too?
28 days later scenario, almost, you know.
Somebody said they drink Pardaco tea. What is that? I've never heard of that.
Well, she's, I believe she's talking about,
LASIK boosts her immune system, right, or something?
I think, yeah, in the chat, she's talking about having a form of anemia, and I believe saying that this helps with the problems with her stomach and whatnot. You said Chris Kendall talked about
cool.
it before. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Definitely appreciate the reference. I'll check it out, too.
Yeah. All right, so... I don't know. It's something I want to mention that me and Justin talked about. We're going to change gears here. Again, we'll give it another second. So if anybody wants to call in, talk about Ebola, now's the time. Call in at 978-656-1527 or Skype The Real News Online, and that's free anywhere in the world if you Skype it. If not, it's whatever your regular cell phone would cost to call a number over here in Massachusetts. It's 978-656-1527. 1527. Call Dose of Reality if you want to get on with us. You can ask us whatever you want. Even if you want to ask us anything, we don't even, you know, whatever you want to talk about, call in if you want. I want to mention this this thing about Rupert Murdoch's son that Justin mentioned to me. There's a magazine called Vice Magazine. I don't know how many of you guys know it. James, are you familiar with Vice?
Huge on YouTube as well, too.
No, I haven't heard that, I must admit.
Well, Vice is it's kind of like a news magazine, but it's a little edgy, like a little bit geared towards a younger crowd, maybe like myself, than the older people looking into the news, and it's a little conspiratorial, you would say, or whatever. And it does make some good stories sometimes. I've read a lot of stories from there, haven't you, Justin?
Oh, totally. And their videos. I mean, they go into war-torn areas, which not for I'll get into in a minute is why I kind of got suspicious of them a while back. They also do stories on different like hallucinogenic drugs and other things like that. You know, it's based out of Brooklyn. The guy Shane Smith originally came up with it is from Canada, but moved to Brooklyn, and it was pretty much put out as a hipster magazine, and it got bigger and bigger, and the YouTube channel got bigger and bigger, and it turned into almost a billion. I don't know if it was a billion before Rupert put his money in there, but at least a few hundred million dollar empire. And make a long story short, they just took $700 million from Rupert Murdoch and put his son on the board or something like that. And now, here's the thing. If you look back at, you know, there's a few things that were telling in the last year or so. Because before that, I thought they were pretty objective when it came to, you know, global conflicts and whatnot. And I mean, yeah, for the most part, they would kind of pick the side that the imperialist NATO or, you know, whoever was on. But, you know, I'll say they did some good work in showing the Israeli settlements and stuff like that. But recently... when it came to the Libyan war, the Syrian war, they totally embedded with the so-called rebels, which are, you know, the groups that were supposedly fighting but were actually funding, and pretty much, you know, just put out, and even in the Ukraine as well, you know, they just put out the total view coming from the rebels and didn't, you know, just like the mainstream media made Assad out to be the bad guy in Syria and made these guys out to be the freedom fighters, when in reality they're jihadis from all over the globe, you know, that have been bought into this phony Wahhabi type sect of Islam, and you know are doing these fake beheadings, you know, whatever. These people that were brought into Syria to overthrow it by the CIA and the Saudi Arabians, etc., and the other, you know, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, blah, 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 Israel, of course, the usual suspects. You know, so they've been brought in to overthrow these governments, and they're following them verbatim for everything that word they say, and they're, you know, they're turning them into heroes. So, I mean, that definitely got me suspicious, and I kind of stopped looking at anything political after that from them. But that just sealed the deal when I saw that the other day, that, you know, that much money was given to them by Rupert Murdoch, and that they also had offers from Time Warner. And, you know, and it's funny because Shane Smith, the guy that, you know, the owner, had talked about how he didn't need money and he didn't sell out. He always railed against the mainstream media and it's non-objective reporting. And then here we go doing the same thing. So that's what happens, is anything good gets co-opted. And hey, it may have been co-opted a little bit before then, but now forget about it. I mean, you know, and obviously, Brian, you want to talk about the one the other day, with the chemtrails and the, you know, 9/11 truthers and everything they were talking about.
Yeah, so Justin told me about how Rupert Murdoch's son, you know, was on the board, or he bought Vice, or whatever the deal was that was made. And Rupert Murdoch, Justin, you want to just tell people who Rupert Murdoch is for the people that don't know, and then I'll go.
He's an Australian, you know, business media magnate, media mogul. Who's a member of the Order of St. John, which is the a Vatican Protestant order, which is pretty much what they give to anybody that's not from one of the Catholic countries. It's just another arm of the Vatican. But so make a long story short, he owns Fox News. He owns Sky
Fox
News.
Yeah,
he owns Fox News, Sky News. I believe he owns the Daily Mail in the UK as well.
I thought doesn't he own the yeah, I think so. Doesn't he own the New York Post or something too?
I'm not sure about the Post.
I thought he owned one of the papers in New York. Maybe not.
You may be correct on that, but yeah, he's got interests all over the place. So I mean, he even said it as hey,
one of the most powerful media moguls there is.
Yeah, him, Sumner Redstone, and a few others. He's actually the only non-Jewish one, but he's obviously.
Oh, really?
He's actually more Zionist than some of the other Jewish media guys. You know,
well, like we know, Zionism and Jewish are two totally separate things. Even though some people try and make you believe it's the same.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Zionism is Jewish nationalism, and when it comes down to it. Anybody else gets treated like a scumbag for being a nationalist, but yet Israelis are allowed to have, you know, to be nationalists and to be, you know, to have a theocracy when you know, and it's the same people, these Zionists that we ever hear are complaining about our gun laws, complaining about us not letting illegal immigrants in, and yet in Israel they don't let illegal immigrants in, and when they do, they don't allow them housing and everything else. They treat them like shit. Then you have the settlers over there that are walking around with machine guns. So yeah, they're trying to disarm Americans, and trying, you know. But I mean, that's a, you know, we could do a whole nother show on Zionism. We could do a whole nother show on the Jesuits. But make a long story short, you know, we've talked about before that the two biggest heads of the snake, in my opinion, are the Vatican and the you know, the Zionists. So.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. So anyway, so his son takes control of Vice Magazine or whatever. He's put on the board. And so Justin, you know, puts the bug in my ear that, hey, maybe something fishy's going on here. Because a couple weeks before that, Justin had brought up an article to me, probably the one he was just talking about, or one of them. He had brought up that something from them looked a little off. He didn't specifically mention it was from them, but he referred me to it. I looked at it, and it was from them. So we both had a little thought that maybe something was fishy. And I had no idea about his son in his involvement with it. And Justin told me the other day. And then the very first thing that popped up in my news feed on Facebook, because I subscribe to them, like I said, they used to have a lot of really cool stuff, pretty provocative stuff, makes you think. They would go against what the mainstream says on a lot of things, you know. They wouldn't really go too deep, obviously, but for a site that looks like it had some money behind it, it looked pretty legit, you know.
It was respectable, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, if you wanted a base point for a story, you'd go there and you check it out, and you maybe would get a better thing than when you're going to hear from the pundits on TV. And now it's turned into a you know, a cultural Marxism rag where, you know, they shove feminism down your throat, radical feminism, and all these other you know, social justice warrior, whatever the hell the these new things are, and you know, a lot of it is just it's nonsense. But I mean, you know, all this stuff we know is part and parcel of breaking down the American family unit. So I mean, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, they're definitely complicit in it now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So his son takes control of it. The first story that pops up in my newsfeed, right? The very first story is them already going and trying to debunk so-called conspiracy theorists. And the first thing they do is they throw a shot at chemtrail researchers and they throw a shot at 9/11 truthers. I'm not going to read this whole article, but I'm going to get through the major points of it. But I want to read you the first line when he starts. It's right here. The very first sentence. Okay, so the headline. The man who tricked chemtrails conspiracy theorists. Okay? Basically what this guy is doing, this is so fucking absurd. This guy is saying that he started the chemtrail craze by intentionally misleading people because he knew that the video was going to look funny. So he filmed his pilot jumping jet fuel out of the plane, and that's what people see. And that people see that it's jet fuel. So we're supposed to believe that thousands of times every day pilots are dumping out jet fuel. Like, that'd be billions of dollars. He said the reason is because when a plane lands, it has less weight, so much less weight than when it took off or whatever, so they have to dump the fuel. Yeah, maybe that might be true once in a great while, but we see crisscross patterns in the sky and shit. Are you trying to tell me that all these people just happen to overestimate the amount of fuel every single day? I mean, give me a fucking break. All right, it's absolutely...
Well, what he was saying, the guy that did it was a troll, and it's sad that so many people did bite onto this because, you know, this particular case was them dumping fuel. You know, all right, so this guy started filming it, and he trolled, you know, however many millions of people shared his photo, because everybody's been looking for this smoking gun on chemtrails, and you're not going to find it. I remember a few years ago they put a tanker truck up there, a tanker plane up there, and it turned out to be, you know, something for refueling. It turned out to be, I forget the exact thing of it, but it wasn't a chemtrail plane. But regardless of it all, you know, this kind of, it blurred the lines, and they kind of just built up a straw man and knocked it down because people bought into this and passed it around. It's like, oh, okay, well, anyone that believes in chemtrails now is, you know, is a nutty conspiracy theorist and should be disregarded type thing.
Yeah, it's absurd. So this is the type of shit that this is, you know, I want to kind of touch on how counterintelligence works, okay? Now, most of the people listening to this have an idea what counterintelligence is. Real briefly, for those that don't, counterintelligence would be somebody like, for instance, the king of counterintelligence is basically Alex Jones. I think most people could agree with that. He's pretty much, you know, the counterintelligence guy that everybody comes across when they're looking into 9/11 or some of these other events. What he's there for is to provide you with enough amount of truth to bait you in, and then he just totally misleads you on all the main points or enough major points of each event. For instance, events that we know are hoaxes, where you know people didn't die, and he'll push the angle that people died every time because he's all about the fear. You know, he'll say something's an inside job, quote-unquote.
Yeah, or a false flag.
Never a false flag. But it never a hoax, so there's always got to be people that died. Or even if it was a hoax to some degree, there's still a lot of people that died. Like, he won't go there. You know, he has gone absolutely berserk attacking no-planers, which is fine. Whatever you want to believe is fine for 9/11, whatever theory. God knows there's a ton of them. Who am I to say what I believe is better than what you believe? But you got to be open to everybody. You can't be supposed the leader of the 9/11 truth movement and just talk down on people because they believe no planes hit, especially when it looks like that's exactly what happened, that no planes actually hit the towers, okay? And the way he would attack these people was ridiculous. And that's what made me realize pretty quickly after, you know, I was pretty big fan of his for about a year, but I had already known that the second plane wasn't real, so it always stuck in my head. And then I would see him attack the no plane this time and time again, and one point he said it was like a mental illness, and I kind of took that personally. So then I looked into his past, and you know what I found, Justin? I found the stuff about the Gray family. I found the stuff out about Bill Cooper. I found how he doesn't talk about, you know, certain things and certain people, and I guess somebody corrected me. He does now, I guess, talk about the Jesuits in the Vatican, but I didn't used to hear him talking about it. I know he used to edit the Knights of Malta off his website and cut people's calls out if they said it.
Yeah, well, I think he may. I don't think he really touches on it. I mean, he may allow it now, and it may. I think someone touched, you know, maybe it's allowed now to be talked. I'm not exactly sure on it, but I know years ago it wasn't even allowed. And, you know, of course, too, we'll get into it. He never brings up the John Birch Society. He holds them in high esteem. He holds the council, or he never even talks about the Council of National Policy, which he may even be a member of.
Elections with the Ron Paul shit.
And even the Rand Paul shit, you know what I mean? It's like, I can see people that bought into the Ron Paul thing, but Rand Paul, I mean, this guy wanted to drone strike the Boston kids.
I know.
He said, what if we could drone strike them outside of 7-Eleven? No jury, no crime. That's the thing too is what they're doing in the mainstream is they're using the anti-establishment angle, the libertarian angle to create these candidates, and they're going to be puppets too. See, here's my opinion real quick while we're talking about Rand Paul. My opinion for the 2016 election is going to be that Bush is going to run in the primaries, Hillary's going to run in the primaries, but they're going to neither of them is going to make it, and we're going to see Rand Paul versus Elizabeth Warren, which will satisfy both sides. Elizabeth Warren is a very big hypocrite. She has talked a lot about, Wall Street and whatnot. It's not like she's touching the actual money creation issue. And there's a lot of other stuff too. I mean, you know, when you rail against capitalism, but then you make, was it $300,000 a year as a university teacher? It's kind of like Michael Moore investing in Halliburton. Which he did, but, you know, so, I mean, and we have, you know, Rand Paul, we can go on and on with, but that's what I think they're going to do. They're going to try to pull an anti-establishment card, make everybody kind of get back into the system, whether it lasts for a year or two, okay, it still buys them time to get their job done, and even if the president was for real, they have no power anyway, even if they think that they do when they get in, obviously, they're not going to be let in without the seal of approval from, AIPAC and, the Vatican and whoever else is running the show pretty much.
Hey, they're talking about Rogan in the chat. I can't stand Rogan. We've talked about him a few times in the group. For those of you that don't know, on Facebook, we have a group. It's named after the website, therealnewsonline.com. We talk about all this stuff all week long because obviously we're not doing a show every day. So we're over there having these conversations. And, we talk about Rogan and how much I can't stomach the guy. He's like Mark Dice to me. I mean, he's not much different to me. I look at them as about the same. James, yeah. Do you know Rogan?
Yeah, James touching that.
We haven't heard James in a minute. James, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm here.
How do you feel about Joe Rogan?
Oh, well, pretty much the same as you, and I'm sure Justin probably feels similar.
Why don't you tell the people how that is? How do we feel about him?
you're
quiet over there, so I want to give you a chance to say something.
Maybe not Rogan's his forte tonight.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't really heard much from him, but I mean, well, just like you said, I mean, it's not palatable, really.
Yeah, he's a total stiff.
Here's my thing about Rogan is, I mean, because here's a guy. You know, he's been on Alex Jones' show numerous times, so obviously he's going to bring those types there. He's had the Stefan Molyneux on, the big anarchist, leader that he is or whatever. So, I mean, he appeals to people in the truth community or whatever. And what he does is, he builds up these straw men, whether it's about chemtrails, the moon landing, 9/11. You know, it's like he will talk about, maybe an Operation Northwoods or Watergate or, something like that. But when it comes to anything real, he's a complete, total gatekeeper and fraud. And it's gotten to the point to where I think Philip in the group the other day was talking about how he went out of his way on Opie and Anthony's show to come out and just talk about the conspiracy theorists. It's like, you know, he's made it his goal now to disparage any critical thinking when it comes to this type of stuff. And he's just on the type of thing, well, we should trust science no matter what, you know, type thing. And the thing is, I mean, if you listen to the guy for a while on his podcast, he has some great guests. He has some great stories. He, you know, he even gives you some good, you know, things to look into, you know, as far as health goes and as far as, you know, expanding your mind or consciousness or whatever that means, you know, type stuff. Like, I know a lot of people that get a lot out of it, but, you know, I don't mean to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but, you know, how many people is he, you know, convincing with his, you know, straw man theories and just because, you know, this, that, and the other. And the thing is, he could obviously be helping out the cause if he was for real. You know, and obviously it's, you know, these guys, all they all play both sides of the fence. So, I mean, it's really nothing new. But I don't know. I got to the point where I used to be able to listen to them, and now it's like, you know, like you guys said, it's like every podcast now he's throwing a jab in here or there, and that may be maybe one of his sponsors or maybe somebody he's in has told him to do it. I don't know, but he's definitely not reliable in my opinion.
Somebody wrote and he's in the closet. I don't know about that. That's funny. I'm not gonna comment on that, but that's funny.
Well, you know a thing or two about that.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm the expert, you know what I mean? I've been in the closet 36 years, James. 37 years? Wow, I'm getting old. I forgot how old I'm getting. I'm not old, I'm just a
seasoned. You should be fine for another 30 years or so.
Yeah. I didn't mean to get too off course for you guys that are listening, but the counterintelligence is important. You know, I'm not going to get into the stories because you've all heard them and it just gets repetitive. But, you know, I've come across so many people in the 9/11 truth movement that are counterintelligence, or at least I believe they are. And they're just everywhere in all these events. Boston Marathon, Sandy Hook, you know, whatever it is. I mean, there's people out there like Alex Jones. It's not just him. He's the biggest fish to fry. But there's other people out there that are simply there to bait you in with some truth. And then you trust them. You're like, oh, well, they told me about this. They told, yeah, no shit. But you know why they told you about vaccines? Or why they told you about GMO foods? Or why they told you about fucking the Gulf of Tonkin or whatever? Because that's all shit you're going to find out anyways if you're already researching. You already found these people. You're definitely going to find that shit. So they're going to present it to you on a gold platter. It looks like they're giving you the truth, blah, 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 blah. But the stuff that you need help figuring out, like the truth behind 9/11, the truth behind different hoaxes, the truth behind the fucking moon shit, you know, whatever the truth you're trying to look for, they're going to divert you away from it. They're going to bait you in with their little truths, and then the big lie is going to follow every time. And that's how they all do it, and they're everywhere. Now, what do you do about that? you got to have discernment. That's the most important attribute you can have when you're researching these things. You have to not be stubborn. You have to be willing to look at everything. You have to look at all sides, no matter how absurd it sounds. Just remember, if I think something sounds absurd, well, what about the people I'm telling nobody died on 9/11? They think I sound absurd. So, you know, I want them to listen to me. I should listen to them. You know, everybody, you need to take it all in, and you need to see for yourself if it's true or not. Don't just go by what somebody says, and don't go by who is the supposed leader of that type of theory. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, you know, I had encounters with Judy Wood or whatever. I wouldn't write off that whole theory just because of her, because what if that was the truth? And you know what I mean? And then she was there to divert. So I go by the evidence. Just like, you know, if I was looking into thermite and I believed it was thermite, but Dr. Stephen Jones was, I didn't trust him. He might just be there to throw me off, and I might really believe it's thermite, and I don't have to go by what he says. Or if I think it's fake video, but I don't agree with what Simon Shack says. Well, you know what I mean? You have to really be able to pick through everything and not follow any leaders, right, Justin? No leaders. You can't have a leader. You can't follow anybody, because you have to do your own research. When you follow somebody, you start trusting them too much, and then you actually start letting them do the research, and you don't go verify their research, or you just recite what they say without following up on it, and that's where it gets dangerous. And these people know that you do that, and they purposely put out these little pieces of evidence that are off, so you go out there and run with it.
Yeah, they know the hive mentality is strong, you know. It's very easy to, you know, especially, hey, you know, think about it. I mean, there's a lot of people now pushing the fakery angles and stuff. And, you know, I'm with them on probably 90% of the stuff. But, there's 10% of the stuff where I say, you know, it's really not necessary. It wasn't that big of a news thing. And a lot of them jump the gun on it. And I'm not saying that I don't jump the gun on it too sometimes, but, you know, that's the thing. You can't trust anybody. You can't just take anybody's word, but you have to see it with your own eyes. You have to look into it, you know, objectively. And that's the main thing, I think. And I think that, you know, we've gotten a good group of people that are objective to the most part. And, you know, more and more people are coming
absolutely
this way since the Boston and Sandy Hook things. Because those two turned out a whole new brand of truthers that weren't even with us from 9/11, but
no.
Now realize that 9/11 was you know, at least a false flag, and are now looking into parts of the no plane theory or the hoax angles, you know, or semi hoax or full hoax.
Yeah, there's a lot of people now. Like a year ago at this time, you wouldn't see that. Now when I go watch a YouTube video, no matter what event it's on, some of the first comments I see are people calling it a hoax and people saying that they're actors.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when we were talking about that in, like, you know, 2010, 2011, when we started to see it a lot, I mean, it was like taboo. You couldn't talk about that anyway. And it's still like that in a lot of places, but there are more people. There's probably 10 times as many people talking about it now than there were a year ago. Maybe they don't realize. They still have that emotional hurdle to get over. Like, they'll realize, they'll see videos of witnesses from 9/11 and say, this person's an actor. This firefighter's an actor. Blah, 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 blah. But then they still can't get over the emotional attachment that maybe nobody died in the towers. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, that's what it is, too. I mean, and you have, you know, here's the thing, because, you know, they push the heartstrings, the Willie Rodriguez stories and, you know, and things like that. And if this guy is a truther and he's telling the story, then, well, you know, and that's kind of where Fetzer goes wrong, because, you know, in my mind, like, don't get me wrong, I think that he's definitely guilty of some, like, of, what's the word I'm looking for, like not following the trails enough to where it's like anything that fits in his little you know, in his version of the conspiracy theory.
Well,
is
I
fine.
Think you, I guess you call it misinformation rather than disinformation.
Right, right. I think that, you know, here's a genuine guy, but, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, he doesn't want to entertain anything that calls anybody out that he has trusted or known or whatever for however long, that calls them a fraud. So that's what, you know, would stop a guy from him from, like, you know, looking at the whole picture that Brian and James have laid out, you know what I mean? And you know, others, of course, too. So, I mean, you know, that's the thing with guys like, you know, and that's the thing. I see that a guy like him, he puts a lot of effort into this stuff. So that's the thing. I don't want to call him a shill, because I just think that anything that fits under his, you know, Jim's big tent is good to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of people now, like, even that video that we posted of the Ebola hoax, I mean, that announcer over at the narrator was, you know, he was a little over the top. You know, it'd be a little better if he was a little more professional about it. But, I mean, he's pretty spot on with his analysis of the videos. I mean, this fakery stuff's everywhere. That's why a few weeks ago when we did our first show of the year, which was long overdue, we did a media fakery special on just the fake video. And we didn't even touch Photoshop, which we'll do another show on sometime, because that's obviously just as big as the fake video. They go hand in hand, really. It would have been too many things to touch on in one show. So we're going to do that another time. But, I mean, it's everywhere, guys. Think about all these events. Oh, the moon landing, the Mars landing. How fake was that Mars landing? You guys remember that? That was a joke.
Man,
that was like a pep rally at a high school before a football game. They were just cheering and hooting and hollering, USA, USA. Like, it was fucking bullshit. I wanted to smash my TV or my computer when I was watching it on. I mean, I wanted to smash the thing. Ridiculous,
hey,
you know?
I don't know if this is any relevance, but Jim in China wants to hear James Sloan do a haka. I don't know what
What's
haka
that mean?
Is. I don't know. I feel like one of his
buddies. What is it, James?
It's a Maori war dance. So, like, our indigenous Pete, it's like a war dance.
Oh, it's a dance, but we can't see that. We don't have a camera. Oh, there's the sound effects that go with it like that?
Oh, if you want, I could play it over the air. I mean,
let's hear it for a second.
Okay,
we'll just play like 30 seconds of it so we don't scare people away. I want to hear the haka. You're going to get your wish, Jim.
Okay, well, you know, I'll find it.
That's funny shit. Jim's had me on his show last week, the True Lies show that I was on. That was Jim's show. Jim's all the way in China listening to us.
It says China. I have a feeling he may be one of James's buddies in New Zealand if he's got that type of information.
Yeah, Jim, he's getting the song right now. He's getting it. We're gonna hear it.
Yeah, Anand touched on the genocide of the indigenous peoples, and of course, you know, that's what imperialists do. They move in and they wipe out any people that had any knowledge before and get rid of it. I mean, you know, when you look at it too, and it's happening in Palestine as well, and it's. And even in Iraq, when we did the Iraq invasion, what do? They went there and they went into the museums and took out all these old monuments and whatnot and brought them to the Vatican and to Switzerland and to all these other places. So, I mean, you know, that's always been and obviously where James is from, the Maori and the other indigenous, in Australia, that's always been, you know, been part of this.
The Aborigines.
Aborigines, correct. So, I mean, that's the thing is all these, you know, groups. I think that they have a sort of consciousness without having religion, and if they can't get them with religion, they'd rather just kill them, you know. And so I just wanted to say that while James is getting his haka ready or whatever, and you know, just in general, for you guys out there, we don't mind having a little fun every now and then. We'll obviously get back into some other stuff too. We just want to hear. This Hako thing.
I know exactly. Well, you know what? We'll do for a quick break. Why don't we take a little 3-minute break, and when we come back, James can have that.
I've got it. So we'll go to the break with it.
Okay. Yeah, guys, we're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna listen to James Hako on the way to the break.
it's not me.
Well, Jim in China says if you're a true Kiwi, you should be able to freestyle one. So.
No. I'm not Maori.
All right, James, go ahead and play it for us so we can take a break. We'll be right back, guys. You're listening to Dose of Reality Radio. That's it? That's all you got?
That's it.
Well, good thing I didn't make that a bathroom break, huh? All right, everybody, you listen to Dose of Reality Radio with James Sloan, Justin Cook, and Brian Stavely, and we'll be back right after this break.
This track is not an attack upon the American people. It's an attack upon the system within which they live. Since 1945, the United States has attempted to overthrow more than 50 foreign governments. In the process, the U.S. has caused the end of life for several million people and condemned many millions more to a life of agony and despair. The strength of your dreaming prevents you from reason. The American dream only makes sense if you're sleeping. It's just a cruel fantasy. Their politics took my voice away, but their music gave it back to me. The land where they're lumping are consumed by consumption, killing themselves to shovel down food in abundance. I guess a rapper from Britain is a rare voice. America is capitalism on steroids. Natives kept in casinos and reservations. Displaced slaves never given reparations. Take everything from Native Americans and wonder why I call it the racist experiment. Afraid of your melanin, the same as it's ever been. That ain't gonna change with the race of the president. I see him. Imperialism under your skin tone. You could call it Christopher Columbus syndrome.
Is it a one nation or an abomination? Is it a one nation or an abomination? Is it a one nation or an abomination? Doesn't make any difference really from your nation. Is it a one nation or an abomination? Is it a one nation or an abomination? Is it a one nation or an abomination? Doesn't make any difference really from your nation.
The world's entertainer, the world's devastator. From Venezuela to Mesopotamia, your cameras lie cause they have to hide the savage crimes committed on leaders that happen to try and nationalize eating competitions while the world's been starving. Beat up communism with the help of Bin Laden. Where would your war of terror be without that man? Every day you create more Nidal Hassans. Killer man from the military, you're a weirdo. A killer wog from the Middle East, you're a hero. Your country is causing screams that never reach your ear holes. America inflicted a million ground zeros. Follow the dollar and swallow your humanity. Soldiers committing savagery you never even have to see. Those mad at me, writing emails angrily. I'm not anti-America, America is anti-me. I don't care if him and Cheney are long lost relations. What matters more is the policies. I lost my patience. Stop debating, bringing race into the conversation. Occupation and cooperation equals profit making. It's over, people wake up from the dream now. Nobel Peace Prize, Jay-Z on speed. Thou is the substance within, not the color of your skin. Are you the puppeteer or the puppet on the string? So many believed it was instantly gonna change. There was still Dennis Ross, Brzezinski and Robert Gates. What happened to Chaz Freeman? What happened to Tristan Anderson? It's a machine that keeps that man breathing. I have the heart to say what all these other rappers aren't. Words like Iraq, Palestine, Afghanistan. The war's on and you morons were all wrong. I call Obama a bomber cause those are your bomb, your bomb.
Okay, everybody, thank you for sticking with us during the brief break. You also got to hear James Sloan and his haka song, whatever the hell that is. I have no idea. James, what's the story behind that song? What's the significance of it? What is it?
What's that? It's a war dance. Most ever
they play it at sporting games or something?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Usually with the national anthem. It's I think the most of the island Pacific Island countries have a version as well. Samoa, Tonga, those countries also have one. It's not
the same. Sorry to cut you off. I was going to ask you though. Over there, like over here, we have the whole Redskins fiasco. Has there been any backlash about stuff like that as far as on the Maori people? Like pro teams being named after them or anything like that? Or is it, I mean, the Redskins is kind of a disrespectful name, I guess, but you know what I mean? Or is it more classy, I guess? I don't know.
There haven't really been any team named after them. Like, it's funny because our rugby team is called All Blacks, but that's not a reference to them being all black. It's just a name.
As some do, maybe the jersey, like the Red Sox type thing, you know, something like that.
No,
maybe.
Well, there's no team like named after like them per se, but like that we do have like a team, like a national team where only Maori can play in it, and it's seen as like some of the white people here see it as kind of like reverse racism kind of thing, but it's, you know, it's not. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like BET and stuff like that over here type thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Black television.
Yeah, there's something similar here. There's a Maori TV channel as well. But it's not like, yeah, some like white people see it as being like racist, but on the whole, most people don't really have an issue with it.
You guys care if we take a call? Jim from China wants to call in.
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
All right, Jim, why don't you call in? Here he comes. Jim!
Hey, what's up?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Very good. Hello, everyone. How's it going, James? And I heard you on the fakeologist thing. I don't think I've heard your other mate. What's your name, sir?
Oh, Justin. Yeah,
Justin, sorry, man. I'm bad at names.
Justin was on doing, Ab Justin? Show. Justin and I went on Ab Show last year.
Well, but I think he was on very briefly, and you were on for a while, and you hung in there for the longest time, and it was pretty funny. I think they forgot you were there.
Yeah, I think that was a different show, actually. I went on with Brian, I think, and then I went on with Justin. We've all been on like a couple of times.
Because I think me and James, we talked for a good three, or however long the show was, and really we were both there the whole time. Maybe I may have called in when Brian was there or something like that.
Yeah, no, I think the show he's referring to.
Yeah, there was a time you guys did the show together for hours, but the time he must be thinking of is the time I did the show with Ab, but James called in for a long time and stayed on the
phone. Yeah, and Brian left early, and I stayed on. Yeah, but I had like a medical emergency in my house, so I left the call on, but I wasn't sort of there.
Ran out of vodka? I'm just kidding.
No, that would be more than an emergency.
I'm sorry, I missed the Ebola talk.
Oh yeah, we had some good Ebola talk. You can bring it up if you want. What did you want to talk about?
What did you guys come to? What was your final consensus?
It might be a real disease, but there's no real danger right now. We pretty much think that it's a hoax. We have a lot of evidence we provided with, you know, the staging of the videos. I put them up on the website with the terrible acting, people just taking flops on the ground and pretending they're sick, and them moving empty containment units and all that shit. And then I read a letter that came out, and it could just be bullshit. It was a pretty good letter. I'll give you a link to it, but it said what some of the motives might be. And the diamond workers in Sierra Leone down there in Liberia are on strike, and we want to put troops on the ground in there, and we want to force them to go back to work and shit, and the Ebola is the perfect way to do it, and supposedly they're vaccinating all the workers down there. And that's how the disease is really going to spread, from a vaccination. Now, I don't know if that part's true. That part might be fear-mongering, but the part about them forcing the diamond workers back to work and all that shit seems pretty credible to me, you know?
Well, and also, too, in Liberia and Nigeria, the people have been throwing out the Red Cross. They're trying to throw out the Red Cross and Doctors Without Borders since this whole fiasco started last December or January or so. They've been trying to throw them out because they believe that they're the ones actually causing them to get sick, which I remember hearing last year or so when this whole thing started. And so it's, it makes you wonder if, and obviously I think the death tolls are inflated. It's obviously.
Yeah, sure. That's the bot's fear monger, and I think.
Right.
But I'm going to put the link in the chat, too, if you want to look.
I think there may be some deaths of it, but I don't think. You know, as far as it, too, like they're trying to, you know, show King Puppet Obama as being more incompetent by, you know, but in all reality, what it is they had to pretend that it came to the shores here so they can, you know, issue a mandatory, maybe not even mandatory vaccine, because they'll have no problem selling it to the people if people really feel that
they're working on one now. They're expediting one.
Right, that's the.
Hey, numerous people unprotected also around these people supposedly, and I got a couple links to pictures. The judge in Dallas that's going in and out of the apartment with no protection when everybody else has it, and then today when they moved that nurse from Dallas to Texas, the second nurse that they said got it, there was a guy in a short polo shirt and khakis that was all over the scene. Everybody else had hazmat gear on. I mean, it's ridiculous, dude.
Yeah,
those
like
links
it.
Are in the chat now if you want to see
them. I don't know if you heard, but Marcus found a link that showed that. Ebola is patented by the U.S. government.
Yeah, somebody mentioned that in the chat earlier. CDC, I didn't get to see, though.
Yeah, so in order, if you don't mind, in order to patent something, you have, like, you can patent a pig if you genetically engineer a pig, right? But you can't just go out and grab a wild pig and patent it.
Yeah, so they
made
it. So the
that, whatever the Ebola is, they made it, yes. So
yeah,
we were saying they made it,
too, because... If they were saying these people in Africa that supposedly wrote this letter, they were saying that the Ebola isn't a disease that can be passed. It can only be passed through vaccinations. And then once they said that, I said, well, then that's perfect. That means they had to make it then if it can only be passed that way. I'm putting another caller on too. He's on the line. Well, John B., you're on the line.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
You're on with Jim from China. You know Jim, right?
No,
myself,
I don't.
Justin Cook. Okay, you're on with Jim, myself, Justin Cook, and James Sloan.
Hey, hi, guys.
How's it going, John B?
I don't know Jim in China, but I guess I do now.
I did a show like last week called True Lies. That was Jim.
Okay, yeah, I've seen that. I didn't see that show, but I've seen a video by True Lies. Is that the same thing?
Mm-hmm. That's the show I do with Robert Jobbering Bailey from... Los Angeles.
I'll send you a link after the one. I did a show with him last week. He does a pretty good show called True Lies.
Right. Cool.
Are you actually in China?
Yeah, I'm in Shenzhen, China. It's in Guangdong province at the bottom of the country near Hong Kong.
People are awake there.
And you're American?
Yes, I am.
So you're like living and working there.
Yeah, I've been here for almost 10 years. I originally am from Portland, Oregon.
Now, hey, Jim, if you don't mind, can you shed some light on us? Now, a lot of people have this idea of China as a totalitarian state, where everybody is a slave and whatnot, and I'm sure there's that to a point, but I've heard other people I know that live in China and say that the living there is not that bad and probably preferable to what we're seeing here in the States. What would you say about that? I mean, it depends on the region that you live in, or how does that go?
It's nothing like what you see on television. It's exactly like what you said. It's a lovely place to live, and I have a blast here. I'm living a life here that I would never have been able to have in the U.S. because in the U.S. you need a certain kind of job and something, and oftentimes you need to be in a club to get anywhere, right? There was no opportunities for me to do anything except, be a temp or something. That was all I had available to me. So I said, I'm done with that. And I found an ad on Craigslist and I came over to China and started teaching. And I get paid a lot more an hour, but I don't work that many hours. So it's about the same pay as like I'd be doing in the U.S. at a minimum wage type job. But over here, that's enough to afford a lovely place and have money to do whatever I want and have fun.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. Were you fluent in Chinese, Mandarin, or anything like that before you moved there? Or?
No, I learned completely by immersion, by being here and listening to Chinese people talk.
Wow, that's
so
pretty cool.
Yeah,
wow.
So I'm told I have a very natural sounding accent, but I have a very small, smaller vocabulary because I don't like crack a book and read anything. I just learn how to do conversation. I use a lot of pronouns because it's easier to talk to people that way.
We got both callers on. Just real quick, why don't we just bounce to John real quick and we'll come right back. John, was there a did you want to hang on and talk for a while, or is there something you wanted to ask real quick? What's up, buddy?
Me?
Yeah, I got you there waiting because Jim called right before you, so I didn't want to, like, if you had something you wanted to ask real quick, I didn't want to make you wait 20 minutes.
No, actually, Justin asked the question that I had for Jim. No. The only thing I would ask in addition is, like, there's a lot of, seems like a lot of rich Chinese people buying property around, here in Toronto area, and I'm wondering, are they all from Hong Kong, or, are there, I'm sure there are rich people, I'm not sure, I'm asking, are there rich,
well, no,
are there
it's,
really
it's
rich people in China?
There's mainlanders.
Like private, not, sorry?
That's the mainlanders now, the mainland Chinese people, there's tons of rich people around here, there's tons of poor people too, but there's also like a huge number of people who've gotten really rich over the last 10 or 20 years.
So how does that jive with communism?
It's really not communism that we have there.
Yeah, right. It's a modified American system.
It's kind of like here where it's like, just from my understanding of it, Jim can correct me, but you have Hong Kong, which is capitalism, pretty much, as much of a free market as you're going to get. And
right.
You have China, which kind of plays by those rules and also, plays by the collective rules. But, I'm sure they're, dipping into that as well since they've gotten the mandate or whatever.
So it's similar in the way that we have a lot of socialism here in our supposedly dominant capitalistic society.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're
North
saying?
North America is way more socialist than Europe or China. There's way more people on the dole, getting money from the government,
right.
From the military, unemployment, food stamps, all that stuff that they have. It's it doesn't mean it means they have good lives, but it's as far as giving money out, the U.S. is way ahead on that.
Well, I think back to the Dodd report, where the guy was told by the head of the Ford Foundation or one of the big foundations that their job is to influence Western society so that it may one day merge with the Soviet Union. So I think that's why the West has become more and more sort of socialist over time.
I think also too, what we're seeing on the geopolitical stage also is a shift where they're making America and these other countries more subservient to the government so that they can switch the obviously we've lost the petrol dollar for the most part, and that's what they're still trying to hold on to, unless there of course is the same people that control China and everything, which is very possible too, but on the surface anyway, if the BRICS countries, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and I forget who the S is
South
for.
Africa.
South Africa, correct. Yeah, if they're all rising in economy-wise, then that's going to be who's going to be getting propped up as the new NATO or the new superpowers, at least in the face. Whereas America right now, they're tearing down brick by brick and making us subservient to the government on purpose because – it's a lot easier to corral people when they have to go and get their check every month from and it's the end of the empire. So I mean, I think that's what we're seeing.
Right, but our impression here in the West of China is that the Chinese are generally very subservient too, right?
That's the propaganda that we hear. Same thing, and so, I wonder too about North Korea. I mean, I'm sure there's parts of it that are very bad, but I'm sure there's, it makes you wonder when they show us the supposed satellite photos with no lights on, if that's really true or not. I don't know. Continue, John. Sorry to cut you off.
It probably isn't. No, yeah, it's probably bullshit.
That was my thinking on it too.
I mean,
with people in China.
I think in the news today, the bullshit outweighs the truth.
Oh, by far.
It's gone. I think there used to be more truth, maybe, and maybe not, but it's just
crazy
gotten.
Now. I mean, it's so over the top too.
The ratios tip the other way like crazy.
Like we were talking earlier, like it's so over the top, like the beheading videos and shit like that. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse. It's like,
I know,
it's really insulting to your intelligence.
So, Jim, what about the smog over there? Is that being exaggerated too?
It depends where you go. The place I am is right next to the beach, so it clears out all the time. So there are days where it's smoggy looking, but it's never difficult to breathe, and it doesn't last here very long. But if you go to North China, like so let's say you go to Sichuan or you go to Beijing or something like that, then you would definitely there's places where it rains black gunk out of the sky,
right?
Because there's so much crap in it.
Because all the industry is concentrated in small areas in those areas.
Well, it's kind of like all the electronics manufacturing, putting together stuff is all done in the South, and then all
right.
the rest of the North is kind of like a vendor to those companies. Like they make
right.
all the chemical processing and all the making of stuff, raw material processing.
But anyway,
so
bottom line, whatever
grocery.
We're hearing about China is pretty far from the truth. Sounds
yeah, absolutely.
Like
absolutely. I think everybody in North America should come here for at least a week. Because it
yeah.
would change your mind about so many things, and it wouldn't make it's not going to make you love the Chinese government. It's going to make you realize that the people over there stocking the stores, it's stocking Walmart. It's interesting to watch them get up and go to work every day. You learn that really the United States and China are almost the same thing in my eyes. Like the everything you see around here looks almost exactly the same. Like the roads and the cars and the infrastructure and everything built in here,
right?
It's you could confuse it very easily with a picture of the West Coast of the U.S.
James, you had a question.
Well, that's what the globalists want, isn't it?
Mm. James? Yeah, and we're talking about people coming to North America. They have so much cash now that they pick up their whole family and go there just so that the oldest child can go to school. So that the oldest child goes to, you know, Harvard or whatever, and they move their entire family to a city just to so that they can be close to their student. That's how much cash they got to throw around.
Well, I know my father was he built a couple of houses that he lived in, and you know they were like pretty fairly high end houses, and he sold them to both of them to Chinese people. And they've been, you know, for like, I don't know, whatever it was, $1.5 million or something, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And they've been sitting empty.
Right.
And their one's just going to be demolished. They were bought by Chinese people. They never moved in. I don't think they ever even went into the house. They just say, I'll take this one, I'll take that one.
That's insane. That's insane.
And, James, you know.
James had a question real quick, guys.
Just going to ask how well received like you were as a Westerner. Like, did you encounter the level of racism a Chinese person might encounter in the States, for example?
I don't think the States gives too much racism towards Chinese people, James. I don't know, maybe, but.
In the West, like a lot of people, like in my country, there's a fair bit of racism towards like.
Yeah,
Asians
there definitely is, right? You know, think about all the Ching Chong shit and all the, you know, the right. I mean, you know, it's subtle. It's not as in your face, yeah. And they don't seem to complain as much. But it's, you know, I don't know. It's a good question though.
All right, my bad. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, so I've been loved since the day I got here by everyone I meet. Every Chinese person stares at me wherever I go. So it's never stopped. It's like being a celebrity without the cash.
The chicks are into Americans big too, I hear. Continue.
It's tough getting with a Chinese girl because.
Dead.
Oh, I do well. Yeah.
That's what I like to hear, buddy.
hey, everybody should be, right? That's why I say come to China. I'm treated like a king here everywhere I go. I get people buy me dinner all the time and call me up and take me out to, you know, awesome clubs and stuff. It's. If you're Caucasian here, you're a baller basically.
What were you saying about it being tough to get with a Chinese girl? Why is that?
Okay, so like most Chinese girls are thinking about getting married. That's the only thing they're thinking about. They're not interested in hooking up. But if you go to a club, then you can go out to places where you're the only foreigner in a club of hundreds of Chinese folks. So. In a place like that, you're definitely going to find a girl who's interested in you because you're different. All the Chinese girls have the same looking Chinese guy to choose from. They all look very, very similar, and that's not being racist. It's just something in their DNA or whatever. So if you're the only guy, if you don't score that night, then you weren't trying. You didn't want to, because it's a slam dunk.
Yeah, well, I'm banking on a similar phenomenon when I take my trip to the States.
Oh, totally, dude. You should play up the accent. You know, like my friends from Australia who went to the U.S. They started talking like Paul Hogan because they were from somewhere completely different. But they started laying it on because they found in the bars it just totally, you know, made the panties drop off.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping.
Right on.
Yeah, we gotta get you a Crocodile Dundee knife and a hat, James, when you come here.
That's funny. I told James he'd be all set with the accent. He'd be knocking him dead over here. Jim, somebody in the chat wanted to know about pollution. Is it as bad as they say? Obviously, probably not, because everything that's bullshit.
I think he addressed that a little bit.
Oh, did he? I thought he said the smog. They meant like trash in the street.
Okay.
Oh, well, the thing is here they have. A shitload of people that they need to employ. I'm sorry, do you guys swear on here?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay, cool.
All the fucking time.
Right on, sweet. They have so many extra people here, right, that they have to give them a job. And they, you know, the governments just print money when they need to do something. And so they just pay people a minimum wage to go around and sweep the streets. So there are street sweepers everywhere. So littering here is totally accepted, totally cool. There's no taboo about that. And people just go around littering everywhere, and they employ people to sweep up the streets every day. So it's not dirty, really. It gets, you know, as during rush hour and stuff, right. It gets
so
a little dirty.
They might see people polluting, but then it gets cleaned right up.
Yeah, and in the U.S., if you know, the U.S. is doing so poorly right now, why don't they just print some money and put all the people who don't have a job, you know, have them going out there picking up litter? You know,
I don't know why they don't do half of the shit they don't do.
Yeah, then hey, economy is
going great broke, again. Man, they want people to be broke. It's easier to
They're not there for our
broke.
Benefit.
No, they want
right,
you to be broke.
Right.
Easier to control when you don't have resources.
I think there is a phenomenon in some Western countries, though. Like a lot, I know here a lot of people would view that job as being beneath them. I don't know if it's like similar in America, but certainly a lot of middle.
Get him a uniform that says "Yes, we can." And then, you know, the Obama on the back, and then they'll be like, sweet.
Change.
Change, yeah, there you go. Hope
phone.
And change.
Change we can believe in.
Change.
Right.